desk. I swiveled in my chair and looked at the words on my computer screen. Those same words had been there for 2 days. Seeing them caused a knot in my stomach. Newt had been right. I'd recently suffered a rare case of writer's block on my latest mystery novel, whose deadline was coming up fast. December 15th, to be precise. I've always prided myself on meeting publishing deadlines. I know other writers who consider deadlines set by their publishers to be arbitrary at best. I've never felt that way. For me, meeting deadlines is a sign of professionalism in any line of work, and above all, I like to consider myself exactly that, a professional. But unless I broke through this bout of inertia, my track record of always delivering on time was about to be broken. While I readily took responsibility for having lagged behind in my writing, other external forces had also played a part. It was a little more than a week until Thanksgiving, which naturally meant a flurry of activity having nothing to do with mystery novels or any other form of professional writing. I'd agreed to host Thanksgiving dinner at my house this year, although Sheriff Mort Metzger's wife Maureen, an enthusiastic if unseasoned cook, offered to help me with meal preparation. There would be 9 of us at the dinner table, including, as the town obviously knew, based upon Newt's comment, my dear Scottish friend from London, Scotland Yard Inspector George Sutherland. I didn't harbor any illusions that the number of guests would remain at 9. In past years, there were always a few last-minute additions to the dinner table, which was fine with me. With a few extra leaves, my table can squeeze in 14. George and I hadn't seen each other in many months, and I was delighted when he accepted, albeit at the last minute, my invitation to experience a traditional American Thanksgiving holiday in Cabot Cove. I wanted it to be special for him, and intended to go all out in serving up a splendid meal, along with the requisite warm feelings that always accompany it. I looked at the computer screen again, and winced. When will I find time to finish the book? There were other distractions that kept me from my writing. Each year, the town held a Thanksgiving pageant to recreate the holiday's earliest celebrations in America. I'd written much of this year's script and had devoted far too much time to collaborating with my pageant co-writers, not to mention attending rehearsals and watching our joint effort blossom into a full-fledged production. In addition, I was also doing what I did every year at this time— helping out at the local senior center, where we serve a Thanksgiving spread for the town's less fortunate. No wonder I was blocked. I've often been accused of biting off more than I can chew, no pun intended, and this year gave validity to that charge. I went to my front window and parted the curtains. Mr. Billups was still there, his pose never changing. When he spotted me, he turned his head, gazing off in the distance down the road. I had the same unsettled feeling I'd suffered for the past week, ever since he'd begun loitering there. Not every day, but often enough to make it obvious that it wasn't by chance that he'd chosen that spot. I'd waved to him a few times when leaving the house, but received nothing in return, just a hard stare. My guess was that he suffered from some form of dementia rather than drinking, as Newt had suggested. I'd never seen him stumble. But I assumed he was harmless enough and was glad that he was at least able to afford a room. My heart goes out to those who've fallen out of life's mainstream, often through no fault of their own. Of course, some end up in that situation through their use of drugs or alcohol— and Cabot Cove has a few individuals like that, the natural consequence of the town's growth. Fortunately, our mayor, Jim Shevlin, and the town council have instituted programs to help them abandon the street as a place to live. I took a final glance at the computer screen.